Turn up the radio, it's time to have some fun. We got Adam and Calvin, the dynamic duo. They're gonna make you laugh until you're done. Listen to WGH talk, oh, the joy will know. Their banter and jokes ain't nothing better. They'll keep you entertained, no need to worry. Just sit back, relax, and let it all unfetter. With Adam the Computer Guy and Calvin Williams, hurry.
Tune in to WGH Talk, you won't be disappointed. The Adam and Calvin Show, a laughter explosion. Brighten up your day, leave you all delighted. Just turn it up and feel that positive emotion.
And hello once again, loyal listeners of WGH Talk Radio. Adam L. here with my program that airs regularly. That's a kind of a hard word to say. It's not really a regular word, but that's okay. We like a little challenge to the vocal cords. Thank you again for tuning in. One of the many fine programs, and well, in my case, at least an entertaining and amusing program presented here on The Talking Place, broadcasting via the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com, where COM stands for Communicating with Interesting People. Let's go to the Western Rocky Mountain area. I have the person who's been on the program with me a few times, and it's going to be at least a semi-regular gig, Mr. Calvin Williams from Lewiston, living in his own private Idaho, is the B-52s say, although he's a native of the Grove City, southwestern Columbus suburban area. Make sure the intern has properly duct taped all the cords and we have prepared in the appropriate and most efficient manner. Calvin, how are you today on this fine early spring day in the solar system?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm glad to be back on the air. My work schedule as of recently has been kind of prohibitive of us doing a show taping, but today everything finally worked out.
Speaking of taping, show is so good, Calvin, we're going to play it multiple times, but certainly if you are listening, it will be in the early spring of 2024 in the solar system. Now, since we talked previously, Calvin, many events have occurred. We're going to talk about some news events, some things that we've dug our teeth into and see what our perspective might be and what some future perspectives might hold out in this exciting adventure that we call life as a member of the species Homo sapiens. Speaking of the solar system, Calvin, here in Ohio, we had totality from the eclipse outside my door. I had about 30 seconds of it. Other areas, as many as 3 to 4 minutes. This has occurred since the last time we shared these microphones. Now, you are native, Calvin, as we've mentioned, of the Grove City, Ohio area, where I actually lived, although when I lived there, it was way, well, it wasn't before your parents were born, but it was pretty close. But now you're living in Lewiston, Idaho. We've talked about the reason why you've relocated, about your job, many times, and it's a fascinating story, but we are going to focus a little more on some current events, both that we have encountered and in the world in general. Later in the program, I saw the eclipse, Calvin. I think I sent you some photos. It was kind of like a sunset to sunrise and fast forward. 30 seconds of darkness, and it gets light again, and the world gets back to normal. Now, in Idaho, you had partial totality, so tell us, what was your eclipse experience? And were people going as eclipse crazy over there in the northwestern part of the United States than they were in the midwestern part of the great USA?
So I believe out here we only had about 30% coverage. There was absolutely no talk or mention of the eclipse out here from anyone that I heard. I did get to see it a little bit. I walked out in my backyard with my welding helmet on and I looked up at it. I can kind of see it covering the corner of the sun. I tried to take a picture of it with my phone, but it just wouldn't focus. I tried taking a picture with my phone through the welding helmet, and that wouldn't work either. But even though it wasn't totality, I still got to see it, so that was interesting.
So 30%, the analogy, and one that I've agreed with, is if you're witnessing a partial eclipse, and of course that helps if it's a sunny or mostly sunny day. We were actually expecting some rain initially, and we ended up with a mostly clear sky. So we were kind of lucky there, because later in the week it was raining a lot, and it does that. April showers do bring Mayflowers. And a lot of dandelions currently in this part of the country. The welding helmet, Calvin, is that pretty similar with respect to sun protection to the famous eclipse glasses, which are like 100 plus times as strong as regular sunglasses? So it is safe, at least for a short period of time, to look in the general direction of the sun, because when you're welding, obviously you have some bright sparks and other bright light that is not safe to the naked eye, not to mention that it could damage it by touching it. Tell us about this welding helmet, and to the best of your knowledge, how does it compare to these famous eclipse glasses?
So the welding helmet, it's one of those auto-darkening type helmets. So when I'm welding, and as soon as I strike the arc, it instantly darkens. I know that there is a lot of things out there telling people and warning against using a welding helmet to look at the eclipse. I'm not too sure about what the difference is between the welding helmet and the eclipse glasses in terms of construction, I guess, because I mean, out here there was no eclipse glasses. I mean, it just wasn't that big of a ordeal out this way, and I didn't look at it for too long. I only looked up at it for maybe 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy year for eye doctors. There's been talk. You generated this song, or it was generated by someone else. I posted it on Facebook. It's not a song that you can talk about in polite company because it contains a lot of, let's say, adult language, to put it mildly, but it's kind of a country song where a gentleman cannot enjoy some of the things he used to because he looked at the eclipse and now he's got a problem with his eyesight. So as long as you take proper precautions, an eclipse can be viewed. It is quite a spectacle. And I guess the main thing, Calvin, when you have partial coverage, because I've witnessed many partial eclipses in my many years on this planet Earth, it kind of looks like you're wearing sunglasses, even if you're not. That's what people say, and basically that's what it's like. One thing I did notice was, unless there was totality, it still looked like that view through sunglasses. Didn't look like we're actually seeing the sun get covered. So it just shows you how powerful the sun is. Until that last second before totality, just looked like either I was getting cloudy or I was wearing a good pair of sunglasses. But once we had totality, it was dark. I mean, just like walking outside at 1 a.m. And it was pretty exciting. I got some photos, kind of watched the birds chirping. They were pretty confused. A couple of the neighbors were out watching it. And it was kind of an ooh and ah event, but it doesn't last for long. And when it's over, we go back to our regularly scheduled programming, so to speak. But I am a science person. It was exciting. Astronomy really is a fascinating field, and I guess I can ask you this, Calvin. Like myself, you're interested in the world, the phenomena, various branches of science. What do you think about people suddenly being astronomy buffs for the eclipse craze, and during the eclipse, during the entire 2 to 3 minutes of the event, if you're near the middle of that totality band, and then suddenly they get back to their lives and don't really care about astronomy or science in general? Would you like to see people become more interested in science throughout their whole life, or was there just a lot of hype about this whole thing, which kind of cheapened the event?
So I wouldn't say it cheapened the event, because well, it was going to happen regardless. But I think the sudden interest in the eclipse and astronomy was, again, due to the hype and people just wanting to feel like they're relevant.
You realize what a small piece of the galaxy you are. And glad I had a chance to see it. I'm glad that I stayed at my home where we were in the totality band, but at the edge of it, I could say, well, I lived in a place where totality did exist, whereas there were areas, including right around Marion, where you could get 3 to 4 minutes worth, about as long as a song, at least as long as songs were in the 70s before they started getting a little bit longer. So it was a good event, and but after it's over, I mean, even five minutes after totality, you do have that effect where it looks like you're wearing sunglasses, but the peak of the event definitely had passed, and you could feel it warm up again, kind of like a a sunset to sunrise in Fast Forward. But I'm glad I did get a chance to witness it. I'm glad that the sky cooperated. And 30%, you can see the magnitude of the effect when you only have a small part of it. Adam Lepp here talking about the eclipse, which recently occurred here in the great year of 2024 with Mr. Calvin Williams, at least semi-regular guest on the Adam the Computer Guy mid or afternoon coffee break radio program extravaganza. Now, Calvin, you were recently kind enough to have sent me a little gift from your domicile in Lewiston in western Idaho. Again, the B-52s song, which we both like, Living in Your Own Private Idaho. Well, you used the services of the United States Postal Service and sent me some of this white coffee. Now, as much coffee as I drink, as big as coffee shops are here, I have never heard of white coffee before. Now, I tried it. In fact, at the time of this taping, Calvin, I have finished the coffee and think you're going to send me some more, or I might go buy some, or I might go plant a coffee tree myself. Tell us about this white coffee and how does it differ? And why do you think maybe it's more popular in some parts of the country than in others?
So I, like yourself, I had never heard of white coffee until moving out here, and I happened to see it at the grocery store and it caught my attention. So I didn't even know this before I sent it to you. I believe you told me this, but the difference is the beans are, they're only half roasted, correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding is before they're roasted fully, the color is lighter because the coffee looks like sand. And after the grounds have been turned into coffee, it looks like wet sand. It does not look like coffee at all. You really would never know. It kind of psychs you out. It's almost like when they had that clear Pepsi or clear cola. It was a clear color,
yeah,
but it tasted just like regular cola. And this was kind of similar. It didn't look like coffee because you're used to coffee having a certain color and consistency, but it certainly tastes like it.
Plus, when it brews, it's almost like a green color liquid. That just screws with your mind even more.
Yeah, it looks a bit like green tea, actually. And it's sweeter than...
So my theory as to the popularity of white coffee out here, and I might be grasping at straws with this one, but my town especially with the paper mill and the bullet factory and a lot of areas on this side of the country are very industrial in general. So I'm thinking the white coffee might be more popular out this way because of all the blue-collar workers working at these industrial jobs. They want something that has a high potency of caffeine. That's my theory.
Yeah, it seems like it's stronger. It's kind of hard to quantify that. I will say that it's sweeter. I definitely put less. I put in Stevia or Splenda, and I definitely put in less when I've made the coffee. In terms of creamer, maybe even a little bit less, as it seems to have a mellower, a sweeter type of taste. It does psych you out though, because it doesn't look like coffee. But when I drink it to keep it warm, I generally put a lid on a cup where you can't see through anyway, so I don't really know the color of what I'm drinking, but it certainly tastes like coffee. It does feel like coffee, and it's very good. And we do encourage folks to try it. You weren't quite sure what I would think, but I gave it a thumbs up the minute I had my first sip.
Yeah, I literally told you, like, I won't be offended if you end up not liking it, because I'm the only person in my household that drinks it. Everybody else hates it. So... question for you, now that you've gone through a whole bag of it already, is it just me, or does it also have a bit of an interesting aftertaste to it?
Yeah, I've not noticed the aftertaste. You'd mentioned that. I've not
really
experienced that. Do you drink your coffee black? Do you add sweetener, creamer? I put a little bit of milk, a little bit of the non-dairy creamer, sometimes the liquid creamer. I use Splenda or Stevia. Usually some cinnamon and some of the skinny syrup, the no calorie flavoring. So I put so much stuff in it, it probably covers it up. But I certainly can taste the coffee component. How do you drink your coffee? Because that probably affects it.
So I typically always drink my coffee straight. I never use creamer. On very rare occasion, I'll put in maybe the slightest splash of milk. Being diabetic, I don't add sugar or anything like that. And artificial sweeteners just absolutely mess up my stomach, so I try to avoid those.
Yeah, I guess
if I put Stevia or Splenda in my coffee, I'll be in the bathroom for the next 6 hours.
Yeah, well, it is a diuretic, that's for sure. I can certainly attest to that. Coffee and beer are two of the best diuretics around, and I've certainly been known to indulge in both of those fine beverages. I guess we want to make a different term, Calvin. If you drink it straight, it's not black because it's a greenish color, so I guess you drink it green. We'll have to make up a word for that one.
Yeah, I drink it green, and then otherwise, I'm a dark roast guy. I'll drink straight dark roast all day long.
You're kind of a...
Kind of bitter taste you get from dark roast. I actually like it. Maybe I'm just messed up in the head, but I kind of like that burnt bitter taste that you get.
I've been indulging in the Sheets pumpkin coffee. It is currently on sale for $1.99 a package, or a package of 12 pods, as my coffee maker can make from the ground up coffee, or I can just grind it myself. Just too lazy to do that half the time, or just use the pods. So since I ran out of the white coffee, that's what I have been indulging in. The brand, Calvin, I believe, is Wired Willies. Is that the only brand you've tried? Should we both maybe try a different brand of the white coffee? Because every brand's going to be a little bit different.
So at the moment, the Wired Willies is the only brand that I've had. There is one other brand that I can buy locally. I don't remember what it's called at the moment. But they only sell it in these just absolutely massive, like 3 or 4 pound bags. And the only reason I haven't bought it is because I don't need that much coffee at once. And by the time it takes me to get all the way through that much, it would surely have gone bad before that point.
Okay, well, I guess I am a professional coffee drinker, but that's okay. Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, speaking with Mr. Calvin Williams, living in his own private Idaho, as the B-52s say, although he's a native of the Grove City area. Before we get to other topics, Calvin, anything you want to bring up? I'm going to open the microphone to you. Is there a topic that you wanted to talk about with myself?
Yeah, so, you know, in the news lately, first we had that cargo ship take out the Key Bridge in, I believe, Maryland. And then in the news recently, there were those 12 barges that broke loose from their moorings on the Ohio River. And one of those barges hit a bridge and the other one damaged a dam. So do you think it's just a coincidence that this happens more often than we think? Because now that the Key Bridge happened, any incident with a cargo ship or barge is now going to be newsworthy? Or is this a new thing? And do you think it's a planned attack on U.S. infrastructure?
Yeah, it's hard to say, Calvin. Certainly, our transportation system, whether public or private, is very important. It's one thing that we're known for here in this country. And there are some cities, I mean, like Columbus, which is growing into its own growth. There's an issue with the public transportation. There's no Amtrak service. There used to be an Amtrak station in the Mansfield area. And so we don't have the public transportation, whether it's short distance or long distance, that comparable sized cities have. In Columbus, this is the second largest city in the Midwest. In many ways, it seems like you're in a much smaller town. Now, we are not on a major body of water like most large cities are, Cincinnati and Cleveland being an example, let alone Chicago or New York or Philadelphia. But it is hard, I guess, to talk about the transportation infrastructure when this area that we're more familiar with is so different than other large cities, including cities that are much smaller. Cleveland, Cincinnati, much smaller in population than Columbus, although the metro areas are huge. Whether it was some kind of an attack, I don't know. I do know that we need to have, obviously, a number one priority of safety with bridges, with highways, with anything where people move. and that as we get into construction season, you know, people say the state flower, it really is the orange barrel, but every area has construction. I'm sure you have it there in Idaho also, but Ohio seems to be infamous for that. Be safe. The signs use this pun that I like, give them a break, B-R-A-K-E, even though it's also B-R-E-A-K. Be very careful around construction workers, around construction obstacles in general. And when using bridges, obviously we have to look at the safety. We need to look at the structural engineering side of it. The Brent Spence Bridge from Cincinnati to Northern Kentucky, that has certainly had its own issues. Are we growing too fast, and not just in terms of number of people, but the use of our highways and the use of our waterways? Are we sacrificing safety? I personally don't know, but we do need to make this a very high priority, and let's hope that is continues to be done. I look at the Brent Spence Bridge in southwestern Ohio, northern Kentucky, as an example, but this incident in the eastern United States is very significant, and let's hope that we can research ways to prevent this permanently and make sure that the proper repairs are made, that we can support our own growth and never sacrifice safety, and make sure that we're monitoring to make sure that there are no ulterior motives. I guess that's the best way to say it. It's, we really pride ourselves, Calvin, on our infrastructure, and we cannot cut any corners with that. And
I agree.
It's a very very sad just to think about it. My heart just goes out to anybody affected.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Safety definitely needs to be the top priority, and I truly hope that this was just a coincidence and these are isolated incidents. But deep down, I'm honestly worried about something like this happening out my direction, because Lewiston and Clarkston out here are port cities. We have a lot of cargo ships and barges that go in and out of town on the Snake River. A lot of it being shipments of export paper coming from my paper mill for our Japanese customers. And like I mentioned earlier, we also have the bullet factory here in town. And one of the bridges that I cross every morning while driving to work is a drawbridge that these cargo ships and barges pass under regularly. So what happens if suddenly one of them collides into that?
Yeah, you start wondering. I mean, the number of times that I've used the Brent Spence Bridge and the other bridges that go from Cincinnati to Kentucky, and there's a freeway bridge that goes into Indiana, and Indiana into Kentucky, and vice versa. Especially in Cincinnati with the hills, as you know, Calvin, I'm sure you've been there a few times yourself, with the hills, with the water. For a city of that size, Cincinnati, around 300,000 people, although it's huge from a metropolitan standpoint with the suburbs in three different states, it's very majestic. And I never run out of things to observe when I use the bridges. And Cincinnati also has a ferry, which is not something you really see too much of in this part of the country. And so that's another cool thing you can do, even just for the sake of using it, because many people here hardly even know what a ferry is. And the safety of the infrastructure, of anything related to crossing from point A to point B, that is the top priority. If we're not 100% convinced that it can be done safely, there's no point even enjoying the scenery or the mystique of going from one state to another, or one country to another. We just can't stress enough that is the top thing. We don't want to feel like we're putting the cart before the horse. Also, is that if it's not going to be safe, not going to be reliable, there are many other things and many things here in the equation, then we need to take a step back, I think.
So I will say, surprisingly, I'm actually familiar with ferries. I have some family that lives up on Kelly's Island, so I'd regularly get on the ferry up at, I believe it was called Port Clinton, to go up to Kelly's Island and hang out there for the day. And I'm also familiar with the bridges coming out of Cincinnati because I have a close friend that lives in Covington, Kentucky, and I would go down and hang out with him and help him work on his car and stuff quite often. So I've crossed a lot of those bridges that go over the Ohio River.
Yeah, Cincinnati, for a city that size, has a lot of bridges, including the Purple People Bridge, which is now pedestrian only. Have you used the Anderson Ferry, where you cross near the Cincinnati Airport in northern Kentucky to the west side of Cincinnati? Have you ever been on that? I've used it many times.
So I've never been on that one. I've only ever been on the ferry that goes up to Kelly's Island.
Yeah, definitely should try it next time you're in the area. I was hanging in the Cincinnati area with a couple friends. They didn't even believe me that there was a ferry in Cincinnati. And sure enough, we go down the little hill, we pay our $5 and cross the river, and then we're in the other state. Pretty exciting stuff. And again, we never want to feel that safety is anything but the absolute number one priority. So we want to enjoy the scenery and enjoy the mystique, even if it's just from one state to another. And maybe we need to take a step back. I'm not sure how to comment on this, but that event with a bridge, I can't talk about it without shaking a little bit. And let's hope that this is not something that we have to experience ever again.
Yes, and I will say real quick, for as much as I frequented the area, I had no idea that there was a ferry down in Cincinnati. This is that's news to me right now.
Oh, well, you learn something new every day, don't you? Yeah, look up the Anderson Ferry. It's been operated by the same family for years and years and years. You get on the ferry, it holds about 8 cars, and you can also walk. And you pay your $5, at least that's what it cost last time I was there, but with inflation, who knows? And you cross from one side to the other. It's pretty much open every day. Not quite sure what happens if the Ohio River is actually frozen, but it doesn't happen too often. It's not a very long ride. Ohio River is not super wide at that point, but it is exciting nonetheless.
Yeah, no.
The Lake Erie one certainly takes you a longer distance. I'm sure it costs a lot more than $5. I might have been on it when I was a kid and we lived here, but I've not been on it recently. So, yeah, ferries are really a very unique experience. Certainly not as fast as a bridge, but you do stay in your own car and you cross from one area to the other, and it's a pretty cool experience. We encourage people to try different methods of transportation, different methods of crossing from point A into point B. And even in Ohio, we have those options.
So I actually just Googled the Anderson Ferry, and it's still $5 one way.
Good. Well, that's not too bad. I think it was closer to $3 when I had maybe used it 10, 15 years ago, but that's okay. Just look at the cost of gas and cost of other things. Inflation is certainly hitting us and will continue to do so. Maybe we'll talk about politics later in the program. In terms of construction, Calvin, as someone who grew up in the Grove City area, a suburb that continues to grow, you probably would agree that the state flower of Ohio probably should be the dreaded orange construction barrel. How much construction is there in Lewiston and in that part of the country in general? If you were to tell people that are natives of Lewiston who maybe have never been to the Midwest, where it seems like roads are always being torn up and rebuilt, or they're building new roads or doing something of that ilk, if you were to tell people about all the construction, especially which tends to start this time of the year when it warms up, would they think you're crazy? Or is construction something that we pretty much have in all parts of the country, even in the mountain and northwestern states like where you are?
So construction out here is pretty prevalent, especially lately. So the road that I take to and from work every day, well, the main road that I take, 21st Street, they've been doing construction on it pretty much since we moved out here. It's a 4-lane road, and when we first moved out here, they had one of the lanes closed to repave it, so it was reduced to 3 lanes. They're still working on that one side. Now they just started working on the outermost lane on the other side, so 21st Street is currently funneled down to 2 lanes, and it gets really congested, so I've started taking a different route to work to bypass all of that so I don't have to deal with it.
So if we think that we are being picked on with respect to construction, that would be mistaken. That do they use the orange barrels and the pylons? Is it kind of the same procedure there, or are there differences in the way that they make the detours or block off the road so that they can do the work?
They use the orange barrels out here as well.
Okay, so the orange barrels are certainly not by any means a Columbus and Midwest monopoly. You may travel to a different part of the country,
no,
but alas, they still make their appearance, don't they?
It seems to me like the orange barrels are kind of the industry standard for road construction. I've seen the pylons too, but the orange barrels are far more common.
Okay, so let listeners know, if you do travel and think you're not going to see any of the road construction or the infamous orange barrels, you probably are mistaken. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WGH Radio, broadcasting via the magic and power and all around fabulousness of the internet, WWGH1071.com, speaking with Mr. Calvin Williams, a semi-regular guest here at The Talking Place. We have the election coming up, Calvin. It's closer now than it was. The last time we talked, seems like election fever isn't too high right now, but it's obviously going to start increasing, and for lack of a better term, very soon, as we're just over 6 months away from the big vote. And we have Donald Trump attempting to regain 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., versus our incumbent, Mr. Joe Biden. Any thoughts, Calvin, about the vice presidential candidate for Donald Trump? It's kind of been hush-hush on that. Do you think he and Nikki Haley might kiss and make up and she might be the nominee? Might it be someone like Kristi Noem? Could it even be your former governor, Butch Otter? He was pretty popular during his governorship. Could it be an unknown, kind of like Sarah Palin was for John McCain? Any prognostications from your end? I know where you live, it's mostly Republican. So I would imagine you've at least had it brought up among your coworkers and neighbors. Any prognostications out there from the northwestern part of the country?
Honestly, no, not really. Like you just said, it's been kind of hush-hush. And political talk at my work especially is a very regular occurrence. But I can't say there's been anything about Trump's choice for vice president. Mm.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. Whatever happens, it'll be a surprise. John McCain picking Sarah Palin. That was certainly not expected. So just when you think you figure things out, you never quite know. But whatever happens, I'm sure that the debates will be an event for the ages. And whatever happens in November when we make our ballot choice will probably be a little bit different than we're expecting at this point. Adam here on The Talking Place, speaking with Calvin Williams, my at least semi-regular guest. Maybe not a regular kind of a program because it's so fabulous and you're going to giggle a few times, but in terms of being a guest, he is somewhat regular at this juncture. We do encourage people, email me, comments, questions, complaints, anything you want to say, even, hello Adam, how are you doing today? Feel free to do that. And that would be Adam at WWGH1071.com. Taking a look at a current news story, Calvin, speaking about politics, and this is in Fox News, AI, the dreaded AI, can predict political orientations from blank faces, and researchers face serious privacy challenges. So I guess, does that mean I just look into some app and it tells me Republican, Democrat, or my case, not quite sure what Adam is. I'm not even sure what my politics are, but I, again, do claim to be somewhat libertarian, but independent in general. Researchers are warning that facial recognition technologies are more threatening than previously thought and pose serious challenges to privacy, after a study found that artificial intelligence can be successful in predicting a person's political orientation based on images of expressionless faces. What do you think about that, Calvin? You know, someone, we've talked about this before. You're 22 years old. Now, you do sound and seem closer to 52, but in fact, you were born just a few days after the events of 9/11/2001, which I find to be quite surreal, out of lack of a better term, but just keep let our listeners know that. What do you think about this AI, Calvin? Do you think it really is a threat where the robots can just take over the world and we're too dependent upon it? And this idea of staring into an app and it tells you Republican, Democrat, or whatever else. Any thoughts on that? Do you think it's a little scary, or is it cool, or kind of a combination thereof?
So I have a couple different ways of seeing it. So I see AI as being a threat in the aspect of, for example, that AI-generated theme song I created for us. It sounds like it was made by a real person, so in that aspect, AI could be seen as a threat to music artists and producers and record companies. And then you have all this AI-generated art that's floating around out there that could be seen as a threat to artists. But the thing about predicting your political leanings, I don't believe for a minute, because like you said yourself, you're not quite sure what your own politics are. And myself, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, but I also have some left-leaning views of my own. So if you're not quite sure what you are yourself, then why should you trust what a computer tells you that you are?
Yeah, I think some people will use the app and say, oh, I guess I am a Democrat after all. We want to make sure people understand technology can be our friend, but don't go crazy over it. I mean, in the song that I posted about the person not being able to enjoy some, let's say, some common pleasures after being blinded by looking at the eclipse directly, I thought it was a real song. That's what I first told you. I said, well, it's cool, but uses some adult language, so we want to warn people about that. But actually, it was AI-generated. In fact, the little theme song that I played before this program started is completely AI. It's not a real person. It's not a real guitar. And sometimes you got to pinch yourself and kind of wonder. You know, you and I like the older music. Of course, the older music was what was popular when I was growing up. But with your birth date, if you like music from the 70s and 80s, that's from your parents' childhood or even before that. And everything just seemed a lot cleaner. People playing real instruments, synthesizers used properly without overwhelming everything. And we didn't have the auto-tune. People needed to know how to sing, needed to have good range. And certainly we've had musicians that are very talented since then, but I don't think we'll ever replace that 60s, 70s, 80s music, where it seems like they were really playing the instruments and really singing. And is AI a threat to musicianship? Well, I would say it is, but I still would rather see someone going up there to a microphone, playing a guitar or whatever the instrument he or she is using, and making music from scratch.
Yes, I agree.
But it's
I will say, so the thing about it being a threat to musicians that I honestly find, well, I guess impressive in one aspect, but scary in another aspect. When I used that AI to make the theme song for our show, I gave it the prompt, which was basically just a description of our names and our show, and it generated 3 different variations of that song, full-fledged songs with the instrumentals and everything, in less than 10 seconds. That's how long it took for it to create that.
It is quite cool, certainly. But you do appreciate when people are playing something from scratch. Even if it seems a little rough, like the Beatles playing guitars, singing together, singing a song separately. You can only do so much with a computer. And you and I both like to listen to music on vinyl. And a record, every time you play it, it does wear out a little bit, whereas digital music will not do that. But you just hear more instruments when it's on vinyl. You just cannot reproduce that on a digital medium. Nothing beats that needle in the grooves with instruments that you didn't even know were as part of the song. And let's hope that we can have a marriage of some kind between this AI, between the synthesizer and auto-tune, and just the good old-fashioned kind of music. Let's hope that we can do that. Otherwise, it seems like we are cheapening an important part of the arts, as music is so important in our society. And let's hope that we never lose track of that. I don't know how else to say it. As a technologist, I do enjoy a lot of this old-fashioned stuff, but I still appreciate what computers can do, what AI can do, and some of it kind of boggles the mind. But again, you have to let technology in general, Calvin, be your friend, not overtake what you are trying to do, and hopefully all things can kind of coexist. Adam here on The Talking Place with Mr. Calvin Williams, my semi-regular guest. We invite you again to listen to the show archives available at our website, which is produced and maintained, curated by yours truly, WWGH1071.com, to hear the previous episodes. So as my mama used to say, time flies when you're having fun. Just a couple of minutes left, Calvin, as we get ready to say Auf Wiedersehen, adieu, and Das Vidanias. Any parting words for our listeners?
So between us personally, a common topic that comes up is almost anything to do with cars. And we've talked about this in the past, but I've been known for owning gas-guzzling land yachts. Meanwhile, you own a hybrid. And I also know that you have a big science background, so I was curious, what is your opinion on hydrogen-powered cars?
Well, I certainly like the concept, and I would like to see a hydrogen-powered vehicle be available to the general public, one you can go into a dealership and buy, just like you can right now with a Tesla or other electronic vehicle. Let's hope that they, of course, are safe, that they are efficient, that they don't cost too much, and that they're cool. Teslas certainly look kind of like a spaceship driving down the road, so maybe we can go for that look, or go for a retro look like the really cool big Cadillacs of the 70s. Something to look forward to for sure, Calvin. And I'm more than open to purchasing and using an H2 powered vehicle. And I think that's one exciting thing we can look forward to, not just from a practicality standpoint, but as a science person, a scientific viewpoint. How's that for an answer?
Perfect. And then I have, I guess at the risk of running out our time, one more question to splice onto the end of that.
Yeah, just talk quickly. That's fine.
So in addition to the hydrogen-powered cars, a technology that is semi-common and definitely long established, what do you think of compressed natural gas-powered vehicles?
Well, we have city buses using compressed natural gas, and why we don't have cars using it, I'm not quite sure. I would like to know more about that, so maybe we can table that for a future show, do some research on it, but bottom line is you don't have to use gasoline to power your car or other vehicle anymore. There are alternatives. I don't think gasoline will ever go out of style, but there are alternatives, and every type a fuel obviously has its advantages and disadvantages. Adam, here on The Talking Place, Calvin, thank you again for being with us on another exciting program here on The Talking Place, WWGH1071.com, for show archives, information, and other goodies.
If I knew you were coming, I'd bake the cake.
Adam left.
Ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? Did my server serve me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot get online. Call Adam, the computer guy. online at thecomputerguy.com. There's a click of the button.